The Bible tells us that the world will know we are Christians by the love we show. However, science seems to indicate that love is nothing more than biochemical reactions in our body. What is love? Stay tuned.
If life is a struggle for existence, then what part does love have in this process?
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Jim Long of the Institute for Creation Research. With the celebration of another Valentine's Day, many of us have stopped, at least for a moment, to consider the true meaning of love. Does it come from the Creator, or is it simply a product of biological processes? I invite you to stay with us for the next 15 minutes as we investigate the origin of love. Frank Sherwin is on staff with the Institute for Creation Research. In regard to love, he points out,
in describing love, one doesn't need to know the exact definition of the term before they can recognize clear cases of it. After all, the term love, like the word science, is used all the time in a person's vocabulary, even though they may not have a good definition of the word.
But what is love? According to Dr. Paul Ackerman, professor of psychology, not everyone would agree.
Love, of course, the meaning of love, or what love means, is going to be different depending upon whether you're coming from a biblical basis and a basis in creation, or in an evolutionary, humanistic, or naturalistic basis.
How do they differ? Biologist Frank Sherwin points out,
if we were to contrast the word love between the creationist and the evolutionist, the creationist would basis their definition of the word love based upon a person, a perfect God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his three-year ministry and what he said and what he did in those 3 years to give us a perfect definition of the word love and all that is associated with it, versus an evolutionary description of the word love, which is a physiochemical feeling that one gets within neurons and cells of the brain that is nothing more than just a highly evolved emotion.
The evolutionists would, according to his theory, would have to say that love or any other human emotion was an ultimate product of proteins.
Dr. Duane Gish, biochemist with the Institute for Creation Research.
As a matter of fact, they maintain that this information is imprinted in the DNA, which then is transcribed and eventually translated through an incredibly complex mechanism into proteins. And these proteins are what are responsible for just about everything. And so they would have to imagine somehow that message, first of all, originated in the DNA. Why? No one would know. Why should we have this emotion called love and things like that?
According to evolutionary theory, organisms evolve higher by a process called natural selection, survival of the fittest. Dr. Gish explains.
An evolutionist ascribes everything to a process called natural selection. Now, we Christians, we say with God, all things are possible. But with the evolutionist, he would say, with natural selection, all things are possible. In effect, this so-called natural process is their God. And really, it is minimally powerful. It certainly would not do what they say, generate entirely new things like breathing and photosynthesis and love and things like that.
So how does love fit into this theory? Here's Dr. Ackerman.
Well, there came a point because human beings at birth are very helpless, whereas most creatures, when they're born, they're relatively independent, like with reptiles or something. So there's no need for love. But once you get to higher organisms like human beings, where when they're born, they're very helpless. If there's no love, no emotional attachment to the offspring, then that has dire consequences on their survival value. And so little by little by little, over millions of years, there would be some kind of a selection, perhaps, for this emotional feeling that we now call love.
What's wrong with this theory? According to Dr. Gish,
if life is a struggle for existence, red in tooth and claw, then what part does love have in this process? And how could it originate, first of all, in the DNA? And as a matter of fact, how could it be transcribed into messenger RNA and then translated into the protein molecules that would be responsible for this somehow causing this reaction in the human brain? To me, is beyond comprehension.
So what is taking place when we experience love? Here's Frank Sherwin.
What happens in the brain concerning when it comes to feelings of emotion such as love? It all has to do with tiny amounts of chemical compounds called hormones. We have a very important endocrine organs at the base of the brain. One is called the hypothalamus, and that directly affects another endocrine organ called the pituitary. And through hypothalamic secretions and pituitary secretions, these alter an individual's moods and their emotions. And evolutionists, of course, would include the concept of love. And so they would say that this whole concept of love is just a physiochemical or hormonally induced emotion and nothing more.
However, creationists would point out that there's more to love than just a chemical reaction.
Creationists would say that although there may be hormonal interactions, certainly there is something supernatural about this difficult word called love, and that is the kind of love, the agape love, that an individual gets when they receive the creator of the universe into their life and as their Lord and personal Savior. And it's beyond the kind of physiochemical, hormonal type of interaction that the secular individual would attribute.
A creationist, on the other hand, would say that love comes from the Creator, and that would give a person a much healthier outlook on life. Again, Dr. Ackerman.
If God created, if Christ rose from the dead, if God is from everlasting to everlasting and we are created in His image, then of course, believing in love in the context of that biblical framework is healthy. It's healthy in the in the most eternal sense of healthy. But of course, if that's not true, if that's all a lie or a fable, we come back to, you know, kind of what Paul said, if Christ be not risen, you know, we're the most miserable of creatures. But ultimately, we have to get back as, you know, what is true? And the evidence from the world around us, the evidence from that emanates from our heart as we call out to God is clear and emphatic, and that is the message of Scripture, and that is that God is alive, God is real, God loves us, and it's the fool that says in his heart that there is no God. And so these things that, are being done to try to change the meaning of everything from love to family and redefine all of these things in evolutionary terms, it's horribly unhealthy and disastrous in the short and long term, but regardless of that, the ultimate answer has to go back to the reality of God and the biblical framework itself.
Jim Stambaugh is an instructor of theology at Michigan Theological Seminary. He points out the consequences between the two views of love.
For evolution, primarily love is a hormonal act. Whereas for creation, love is a commitment. And so God is committed to us. But now for evolution, it's a physical thing, a hormonal action, with no emotional ties to it. And when you divorce the physical from the emotional, you're destined for trouble. And that's what we see today, is that the results of evolutionary theory as it relates to love have brought our society to ruin.
Dr. Gish adds,
the scripture says God is love, and God loves, he loves us, and that's where we, inherited our capacity to love is from our Heavenly Father, from our Creator. It wasn't from some ape-like creature, it wasn't from some mechanistic process, but it came from God Himself. God created us that we might worship Him, that we might love Him, that we might serve Him, be the objects of His love. And that's where it originated. There's no question about that.
As Christians, we understand that true love comes from the Creator. Right from the very account of creation in Genesis, we read about God's love for man. Jim Stambaugh.
when God first created man, he created him in his image and likeness. So he would have a perfect love relationship with his creator at that point.
It was also recorded in Genesis that God created one of the most precious forms of love, the institution of marriage.
In the first book of the Bible in Genesis, God created man, and he wanted him to find a suitable helper. So then he had them name all the animals to see if there was something like him there. But Adam didn't find one. So then God put him asleep and took something out of his side and made a woman, who then he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she is taken from man. So at that point, you have God creating woman and putting them together as the very first family. And Adam said that the man and woman shall cleave together. You know, that's the idea there of being soldered together. They are inseparable. And so a man and woman is in a relationship till death do them part as they take their vows. And so it should be.
Dr. Ackerman.
Just as Adam was created to love and be with Eve, so also God created and loves his creation. It's a picture of the church and the relationship between Christ and the church. And so that's what our love should reflect.
The Bible is full of teaching about God's love toward us and the love we should have for each other. Here's Frank Sherwin.
In the New Testament, we find the Greek word agape, such as found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 18, and 1 Corinthians 13. This is primarily a love of the will rather than the emotions. God loves us with his agapeo, his will, according to John 3:16 and Romans 5:8. It's God's nature to love. As Christians, of course, he has commanded us to love one another. Someone has said, joy is love exalting, peace is love in repose, long-suffering is love on trial, gentleness is love in society, goodness is love in action, faith is love on the battlefield, meekness is love at school, and temperance is love in training.
Jim Stambaugh closes out today's program by telling us about the greatest demonstration of love.
The greatest act of love we see is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the supreme act of love of God sending his Son to pay the penalty that I so rightly deserved, that when I accept his sacrifice for my sin, then I can share eternity in a love relationship with him. And that's, again, all of what the gospel is all about. That's what all the Bible is about, focusing in on man's love relationship with his Creator.
As our program comes to a close, I hope that you've been encouraged as we've focused on the love of our God. Unfortunately, many have been deceived into believing that we are nothing more than products of random evolutionary processes. As we've discussed, this idea leads to a wrong relationship with the Creator. As Christians, we need to know the scientific basis for our belief. Because of this, I'd like to offer you a free information pack about creation and evolution. Just ask for the free info pack when you get in touch with ICR. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS, 1-800-7-GENESIS, or 1-800-743-6374. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a creation radio journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Jim Long. Thanks for tuning in.